Hello, Jad. Is this you?
Yes, it is. Hi. I'm so
Hi.
sorry.
No, you're totally fine. I just wanted to make sure we didn't get our wires crossed. I know you're a tremendously busy person, so it's totally cool. Thank you so much for making the time to talk.
No, thank you for your interest. I'm more than happy to.
And by the way, I have to tell you how surreal this is because I listened to you on Radiolab, and I'm like, this is his voice. This is his voice on the phone talking to me like person to person. This is nuts.
No, we're inside a podcast right now.
So. Oh, I know, totally. Just in different rooms, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to thank you again, yes, for talking to me. I probably should preface this phone call. I just started recording as soon as I just picked up the phone. But this is an interview with Jad Abumrad, who is one of the masterminds of Radiolab. I mean, among other things, you were kind of a renaissance man, if I can say it. And
well, that's cool. I've never been called that. I'll take it.
You'll take it. Yeah, take the compliment. So you're coming here April 7th here in Reno for an Art Town event with Zoe Keating, talking about kind of the inception of Radiolab, how you came up with it, and you're probably going to play numerous stories. I saw from the description. So really excited to have you in the coming weeks.
And excited to be there.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm trying to figure, I guess I could just start from the beginning. I mean, for one thing, you started out scoring films. That was kind of your first, I guess, career path.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds really good the way you just said it. I love the way you just said it. but no, I mean, it's like, it was much less professional or competent than that headline suggests. I mean, yes, I went to school for music. I studied composition, music composition in school, and I got out full head of steam thinking I'm going to score movies, which is still weirdly a dream that I have. I mean, one day. I mean, you know what? Let me just backtrack. I have actually at this point in my life done that. But getting out of school, I was doing student films and like
basically any kind of project you can get your hands on,
anything.
Right?
Yeah, just like, you know, here's $10, write me a tune for this play, and I would do that. And I just figured it turns out that's way harder than it seems.
Yeah,
it's really hard. I mean, it's a little bit like, hey, draw me a picture. Okay, here's a picture. Yeah, not that picture, different picture.
Right.
Okay, here's a different picture. No, make it happier. But I don't know how to do that. I only do this mood. Oh, sorry. You know, I ran into that problem where I was just not, I wasn't good. Frankly, I didn't know how to shift an idea. Like if I had an idea and the person didn't like it, I didn't know how to get to that second idea.
Right.
And so, yeah, I started out, but it was not a blazing success. We'll just put it that way.
Okay. And well, so what was your process? I mean, did you really watch a scene from movie? I mean, that's usually a process. I think you watch scenes from the film and you think, oh, I think this is going to fit this emotionally or conception wise. Was that kind of what you're going toward?
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. It's a little bit like when you go to a therapist and you're like, I don't actually go to a therapist, so I'm just imagining based on what I've seen in movies.
Right.
But like you go to a therapist and like you sit down and you just recount the events of the day, and then the therapist asks you, so what were you thinking? So what was going through your mind?
Right.
What were the resonances and various questions like that? And you have that conversation about the characters in the movie or about the arc of the story, and you're just really trying to get to the inside of it. Like, what's the interior logic of this moment?
Hmm.
And the music should know that in some way. I mean, they're great. It's amazing conversations. It's actually the kind of conversations I have now when we're like trying to make a story. But at that time, I did not have the skills to be able to execute on it. So, you know, I loved the process of it. I loved the like inquiry, but I just couldn't seem to deliver on it.
Okay. And then, so did you score, was it that you scored some documentaries and you kind of were really interested in the journalistic side of things? Is that a transition into Radiolab or was it a kind of a different journey?
No, I'll give you the, do you want the short story or the medium story?
Well, see,
or
again, I don't want to make you explain everything because you're going to be doing just that at the event, and I don't want to spoil it for people. So
No. Well, this particular story, I don't believe I will talk about.
Okay.
One never knows what I will talk about when
yeah,
I.
Yeah, that's kind of, well, you're just kind of flying, just
well,
flying
you know,
blind
you
a little.
Have, you have a little bit of an outline, but like, you know, you try and say what's on your mind at that moment. No, I mean, what happened, honestly, was I did a feature film, which I was really proud of, and then the director consequently stripped all the music out of the film, and so not a great success.
Oh, great!
But
okay.
I did a couple of fashion shows and various things. I'm going back now, like to the Stone Age, so this is at the beginning.
Hey, that's all right.
And I have since scored movies and documentaries, but that's actually much weirdly more recently. But back then, I was trying it; it wasn't working, and I kind of got to that classic sort of 4 years out of college flail that happens where you're just like, oh, all the beautiful ideas I had for my life just aren't working.
Yeah, I know that.
What
well
do I do?
For sure.
My girlfriend, who's now my wife, said, well, why don't you work in radio? I mean, she just had this like insight. She's like, you like to write stuff, you like to make sounds. That's kind of what radio is. So
yeah.
Do that. And so I started volunteering at a radio station, at WBAI, which is a Pacifica station. And that's where, for the very first time in my life, I encountered journalism. Because they were like, here's a microphone. There's a protest happening at City Hall. Run down there, interview some people, and then make a story out of it. And I was like, interview people? How do you do that? I mean, you're like, yeah, just ask them why they're there. Ask them what they care about. Okay, fine. So I go and I point a mic and then I come back. And then you have to then figure out like, oh, wow, they just spat at me for 20 minutes. What's the like most salient 25 seconds? Take that, write the sentence before it, write the sentence after it. And then there you go. And so I just learned that like super rudimentary set of things. I did that for about 2 years. Just kind of figuring out like, how do you do journalism? How do you do reporting?
Right.
How do you do it fast? And I did that for a while. And I just really, that was weirdly the key that unlocked things for me. Because, you know, the problem with music is that it's hard to know how to get started, you know? And so I would get blocked a lot. But when you're reporting, it's like you go out into the world and someone says something and that's what you got. You know, like it like breaks through the block and you're like, okay, I've got these words and I have to make meaning out of it. And it's like you're already at second base in a way. And so I loved the immediacy of that. And so I just got really addicted and I tried to do it more and more and more and eventually ended up working at NPR for a second. And then I happened to be standing in the hallway at WNYC at this very particular moment in time, post 9/11, where the station was changing and they wanted to do a lot more news and they wanted to be much more adventurous with documentaries and with storytelling. And this guy, Michael Elsesser, basically was just like, hey, you with the curly hair, let's go make a thing. And then it's like 4 days later, I'm on the air and Radio Lab is born. And it happened like way before I was ready for it, way before I deserved it. But that's how it went. It was literally like one stumble into the next.
Yeah, and sometimes it's good you have to kind of flounder a little bit until you just...
Oh, my God.
And you just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, really, that's what I love talking with people. I do a PSA show for our cluster of stations here in Reno, and I never have a set plan for how an interview is going to go. I'm going to start with a question, and then we're going to go from there.
There you go, man. I like Flounder. I think that's the name of my memoir, Flounder.
Flounder. So Radio Lab, I mean, it's such an inventive concept as far as, like, there are no, I don't know, pauses, no spaces that aren't supposed to be there. It's so, everything overlaps, and you actually do music for your own stories, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, now I'm really super lucky. I have a couple of people who just producers on the staff who are also writing music. And so mainly what I do is like just kind of color on top of their music these days. But yeah, I mean, for a long, long time, I and this other dude, Dylan Keefe, we would write all the music for the show. You know, you steal a few bits and pieces from other musicians as you need to.
Right.
I'm not ashamed to admit that, but, I mean, we made a decision as we became more a podcast than a radio show, which happened, I don't know, 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. We just decided like, we're going to write all the music because just because of rights and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just because of the creative challenge. And so, yeah, we make all the music now.
That's fantastic. So, and it's just, in case people don't know, Radiolab's been around for what, 16 years now?
Oh, 18 at this point.
18 yeah. at this point. Okay. So
crazy,
you've
right?
probably got a system down.
I wish we did.
No, it's still kind of just random, just kind of going for whatever
we
find.
No, we have a system. It's like, it's a system, but it's a bit, see, the strength of the show is also the problem of the show. It's a little bit like, the whole idea of like calling something Radiolab is the lab part, right?
Right.
Like the radio part is a little bit like up for grabs these days, but it's about having a lab where you basically do experiments and you have a kind of an experimental method, but you don't really know what's going to happen at any given point.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've never really gotten good at like figuring out like how to be efficient. like that whole thing. Like
yeah.
I look at This American Life and I'm like, man, they're just like this well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
I have no idea what they're like from the inside, but they just seem so efficient and smart, and they don't waste their time. I feel like we're wasting our time all the time.
But sometimes you need that. I think you need to take a break away from the material just to kind of get your mind together, and then you can come back to it fresh.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so how do you... I mean, one thought I have is when I listen to your guys' stories is like, how in the heck do you... edit this. It's just because it's one voice, and then you're narrating your conversation you're having with somebody else that you already had, and then you're adding music, and then you're adding other sound elements. I mean, how is that such like a really time consuming process? Or
yeah, I mean, it can be. I mean, it's you know what we do is you know, it's like, I mean, more and more as the pieces are more ambitious, and like, you know, you're sometimes like we just end up with these stories that feel like they're like indie movies in a way. They just have mm-hmm. like, you look at the Pro Tools sessions and they look insane. There's like 120 tracks and there's 12 different interviews all weaving together, and it can seem kind of crazy, but like actually it starts very simple. You know you go out, you have maybe a question or you have a sense of an argument that you want to make, and you go out and you record a bunch of interviews to just learn, you know, to sort mm-hmm. of like understand what you don't know. And at some point in that process, you kind of get to a place where you're like, okay, I think I have something. I think I have a story, and here's the beginning, here's the middle, here's the end. And we sit down as a team and we storyboard it out in the way that like film people do.
Wow. Okay.
Where they're like, here's the beginning, here's the middle, here's the scene, like here's the zoom in moment. And here's the sort of like more expositional stuff where we've got to explain something. But then here's like the plot, and it's like, here's the once upon a time section, and you know, and we just kind of block it out like a storyboard, and that becomes our template. And so then what you're doing when you're editing, and you know, I don't do the editing as much as I used to. It's now like we have some amazing producers who do it.
Right.
But then what you do is you move through your storyboard, and if you've got a section that's like a, here are the beats of the story, and you've got 12 interviews where each person is telling that same story, well, then you weave them together and you have a whole bunch of people acting as a kind of like mono or a multi narrator in some sense.
Right.
So, you know, the cuts themselves can get kind of intricate, but really the story should be very simple. It should be very immediate. Like that's the thing. Like if you actually listen to Radiolab and don't think about the sound or the editing style, it's very, very simple, very slow storytelling. Like each moment is very methodical.
Mm-hmm.
And like people think of us as very, like a very fast show, but actually it's very slow. Like each beat of the story, like I don't feel like we can't even say hello in under 6 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Like, you have your intros and you're just like, oh, so this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm discovering. And then you kind of go riff with each other for a little bit first on
yeah,
some of those.
Exactly. So yeah. So it's all like, you know, you write your little digest of the story, and then you try and get all the tape to cooperate.
Gotcha.
Basically.
So I went on the Radiolab website, and I'm looking at kind of the credentials or the background of your producers, and I guess you call them maybe correspondents or something. And they are so, I guess, diverse. Like they have degrees in certain areas that have nothing to do with what they're exploring now. I thought I saw a woman who had a degree in something like chemistry or business, and then she's like, oh, and then I worked at Pixar, and then I worked here. And I'm like, where do you find these people? Like, this is, it's unbelievable the kind of things they're experts in that are so different from each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. We have a couple of, like, folks that went to journalism school, so in a way took the expected path.
Right.
But we have refugees from a couple of different places, you know, like we have a guy who used to be like a historian, kind of historian of science and academic. We have a guy who used to be a science educator. We have a guy who used to be a rock star, Dylan, the guy I mentioned, used to be in that band, Marcy's Playground.
Really?
Yeah. Which they had number one hit.
Yeah. And we play it on our station. That's nuts.
Yeah. So like he's like one of the two principal guys in the band. Like every so often he'll fly off to some gig somewhere in Scandinavia. So, you know, we have a bunch of people who have arrived here, but through circuitous routes. And I've sort of adopted that idea of people that I think is something that IDEO proselytizes. I think it's them, but they had this idea of T-shaped people. You know, people who are very, like the hat of the T is, like, broad. It's very wide.
Right.
People who've done a lot of shit in their lives. But then the stock of the T is, like, they have depth in one place. You know, they have, like, one area of expertise. And I always feel like those are the people you want. You don't necessarily want the, like, the I-shaped people.
Mm-hmm.
The people who've just done one thing for their entire lives. You want people who've kind of lived a little and wandered around. And that's especially something we've been thinking about a lot in the last 3 to 4 years, is really bringing in people who are just coming from odd angles. Cause I feel like that just makes it onto the air, you know?
Yeah. I think it definitely just has a wide range of perspectives that people can really get into, for sure.
Totally.
All right. Well, I don't have you for much longer, so I wanted to really stress the event that you're coming. Is this like a part of a tour, or is this kind of a lone thing you're doing for our town, April 7th, the Pioneer Center here in Reno?
I wouldn't call it a tour. I mean, it's something I've done before, and I'm really excited to get to do it with Zoe. I've done it once or twice with her.
Right. Zoe Keating, fantastic musician.
Amazing. She's like the original loop goddess.
Yeah.
Like anytime you see like some cellist in a coffee shop with a loop pedal, they owe it to Zoe, because Zoe's the original and she is just freaking virtuoso. That's basically me on stage telling the story of Radiolab, playing stories, showing videos, doing live deconstructions, talking, like digressing into all manner of thing from like evolutionary biology to Cherokee shamanism to like psychotherapy, like just kind of getting into, I mean, it, I hope that people will feel as if it's like a live episode unfolding in front of them. And Zoe will be doing the music live.
Wow.
And which is especially exciting because, you know, I tell a series of stories that she actually figures into quite prominently. So it's really cool to have her there because she's not just scoring it, but she actually kind of co-authored a lot of the moments that I talk about. So, I don't know. Every time we get to do it together, I just feel like it's super meaningful.
Very beautiful. So, this is going to go on our little podcast section, and I'm hopefully going to do a shortened version of this for the radio. But for people who are listening, get your tickets. It's April 7th at the Pioneer Center for the Performing Arts. Jad Abumrad, who is one of the just masterminds of Radiolab. And before I let you go, any future plans as far as Radiolab goes or other projects you might be working on?
No, I mean, you know, we're going to make more.
Great.
And, you know, I think we'll end up making small little experiments and adventures within Radiolab, so sort of sub-series, kind of like More Perfect. But we have a whole bunch of those planned right now.
Fantastic. That is Jad Abumrad, who is going to appear with Zoe Keating at the Pioneer Center for the Performing Arts April 7th as part of an Art Town event. And get your tickets. It's going to be wonderful.